Macabre misfortune.
I'm watching you.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 64 of Macabre Misfortunes.
Hi.
Tracy, this is one of those stories that's going to leave you with more questions than you're going to have answers by the end of it.
Well, that's not hard for me. It's everyday life.
And I actually think this might be one of my favorite stories that we've done on Macabre Misfortunes.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I can't wait to hear it.
A lot of twists and turns. No one knows exactly why Blair Adams left his home in British Columbia, Canada, or how in the heck he ended up in Knoxville, Tennessee. But we're going to tell you as much of that journey as we possibly can. I'm telling you ahead of time, there's going to be some gaps because we just don't know exactly what happened. So, in other words,
we all need to pay attention.
We're going to have to pay attention, but
You're
still going to be confused.
Okay.
And I've heard some different variations of this story, and I'll try to throw some of that stuff in there. If you just go read about the story, there's a lot of stuff that's pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've read other stuff that says, you know, well, I'll get to some of that stuff, and I'll tell you what some of this stuff is that I found that's not usually mentioned when we get to it. Let's do some background on Blair Adams so you can learn a little bit about him. He was a 31-year-old foreman with a construction company in British Columbia, Canada. Now, by all accounts, he really liked his job and he was pretty damn good at it. But the summer of 1996, Blair was relatively cheery, but then he started to have a change in his demeanor. Now, according to his mother, Sarah Edwards, Blair began to have some severe mood swings. She said that something was definitely wrong. He hadn't been sleeping well. She asked him numerous times what was wrong, and he told her that he didn't think he should tell her, and he never did.
Well, that's weird.
So he admitted there was something wrong, but wouldn't elaborate. So let's go to July 5th, 1996. Blair went to the bank. He withdrew his complete savings, which I think was $5,000. I think it was $6,000,
mm-hmm.
if I remember correctly. He also emptied his safe deposit box. Now, this is one of the discrepancies. A lot of the story says it was his safe deposit box,
mm-hmm.
but I've also heard it saying it was his family's safe deposit box, which means he was taking their money too.
Oh.
In this safe deposit box, and it was $6,000 in cash, but there was jewelry, gold, and platinum.
Wow.
In this safe deposit box that he took. He tries to cross the American border on that Sunday. Well, that proved to be a little bit of an issue because being a single man carrying a backpack full of cash, gold, and platinum fit the profile of a drug smuggler.
Oh, no.
So they would not let him in. I said drug smuggler, drug trafficker. It just depends on how you want to say it. But either way, they refused him entry. So the next day, he shows up at work. But not to work. He wanted to quit and get his last paycheck. Later that day, he spent $1,600 on a round-trip ticket to Frankfurt, Germany.
Okay.
Why Germany? He had a girlfriend over there.
All right.
He had worked over there for a while, doing some construction on a project,
mm-hmm.
and then he met a girl, and then flew back to the U.S., and I guess they stayed in touch through letters and stuff and through the phone, because this was 1996, so this was, I mean, there was, I think, the start of internet about then, but it really hadn't taken off yet.
Okay.
His flight was scheduled to leave the next day, so he's got a round-trip ticket to Germany. But just hours after buying this ticket, He was trying to get back in the United States again, which his plane would have left from whatever city he bought the tickets from, probably, unless he bought the tickets for a city in the United States to go, which I don't know the answer to. He shows up at a friend's house, okay, after buying these tickets. He's all in a panic.
So wait, he showed up into a friend's house, which was not in Canada.
No,
he I was mean, in, not he Canada, was in Canada, but Germany.
He was in Canada. No, he hadn't left for Germany. So he buys the plane ticket. The plane was due to leave the next day.
Okay.
But right after he buys the plane ticket, he goes to this friend's house in Canada in a panic, said he was terrified that somebody was trying to kill him and wanted him to, his friend to drive him over the border, which his friend couldn't do.
Okay.
This was Monday still.
Okay.
Then on Tuesday, instead of getting on the plane to Germany, Blair turned in his plane tickets and he rented a car and he headed back to the United States border. Three times the charm. This time, he actually managed to be able to get through Seattle, the border right there, and ended up in Seattle. I guess maybe because he was driving, because I think the first time he was walking.
Oh. Well, heck far.
Walking with a backpack.
Oh, yeah.
So, once in Seattle, he then bought a one-way ticket to Washington, D.C. Here's an even stranger thing about that. He paid $770 for a one-way ticket. He could have purchased a round-trip ticket for another $350, so less than half to come back, but he just wanted the one-way ticket to Washington, D.C. He arrives in Washington, D.C. early Wednesday morning. He rents a car and drives 500 miles to Knoxville, Tennessee. So why fly to Washington, D.C. only to rent a car and drive to Knoxville when they have airports in Knoxville? You could have flown to Knoxville if that's where you wanted to go. Why go to Washington, D.C.?
I have no clue. I'm still baffled.
Right. So, yeah, like I said, this is going to kind of be a theme for this whole thing. Now, as far as anybody knows, he didn't know anybody in the Eastern United States, let alone Knoxville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody knows why he would choose to go there. All right, so he's in Knoxville. Blair was first seen, at least in that city, at a gas station in Knoxville at 5:30 p.m. that afternoon. Pay attention, because this is going to start getting extra crazy. He complains to the gas station attendant that his car won't start, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The attendant explained to him, after looking at the situation, that those are the wrong keys. That's the wrong make and model. I don't know what car he had there, but the keys were to a completely different model car.
Dude. Well, wait.
Go ahead. Because you're going to say the same thing everybody else is saying.
How did he drive to the gas station?
Exactly. How did he drive to the gas station with the wrong keys? He didn't, obviously, but here we are. Different keys. The rental car company was closed for the day, so Blair was stuck in Knoxville. He hitched a ride to a local hotel. Tika Hartsfield was the hotel employee working at the time, and she vividly remembers Blair. She says that he was very paranoid. The whole time he was standing there talking to her, he was nervous. He was agitated. He kept expecting somebody to come in on him, kept looking over his shoulder, that type of thing. She said, but there was nobody there. There was nobody even close to the parking lot. He was pretty much the only person in the parking lot. She said she didn't know what he was looking for, but he was definitely looking for someone. Now, as far as the hotel, they have security cameras. And the security cameras show that in the space of an hour, Blair went in and out of the lobby five times before he finally decided to pay for a room.
Oh, he hadn't even...
No.
Oh, my gosh.
In and out of the lobby five times in an hour.
Wow.
Before he decided to get a room.
I mean, is he paranoid because he's got all that stuff in his backpack?
He says he's got somebody wanting to kill him. Remember, that's what he told his friend up on the border. He said he needed him to take him across the border because he had somebody trying to kill him.
Okay. But we all don't know that for a fact. He could be just whatever.
Right.
Okay.
So now he checks in to the hotel, sort of. He pays for the room. He gets the key. He puts it in his pocket. But instead of going to his room, he went out the front door of the hotel and he never came back. There's good reason why he didn't come back, though. So it was 7:37. This was a couple hours now after the gas station incident. 7:37, the last time Blair was known to be alive. 12 hours later, Blair's body was found in a parking lot about a half a mile from his hotel.
No.
He was naked from the waist down. Now, they said his pants were, they were found in a way, not like someone would take their own pants off, but in a way as if somebody else would remove your pants from you. His socks were turned inside out. His shirt was ripped open and his shoes were off. This was according to Lieutenant Jones from the Knox County Sheriff's Department. Now, scattered around his body was $4,000 in U.S., Canadian, and German currency. There was also a small pack that held another $2,000 worth of gold and jewelry.
Nobody took that?
Nobody took it. According to the autopsy report, Blair sustained many cuts and abrasions. Police believe some of the wounds came from fending off the attack. He was eventually killed from a violent blow that ruptured his stomach. Blair felt that his life was in danger, but authorities felt that this threat was imaginary. Either way, Blair Adams wound up dead. Okay, so here's some strange tidbits, Tracy. Remember how the car wouldn't start because he had the wrong keys?
Yes.
Well, the current keys were on his body when he was found. The keys that went to the car, the right keys. He had two sets of keys on him. He had the wrong ones and he had the right ones. That they were found on his body when he was dead. So where did the confusion come in at the gas station? How do you not know you got both sets of keys on you?
I don't know.
And they were on his body.
Yeah, that's...
So they weren't just like in a bag somewhere.
Right. Could,
they were on his body. I told you about him going to Frankfurt, Germany, you know, and people would be like, you know, I guess you're just going back for your girlfriend or something. And I said he had worked on a project. It was a construction project in Frankfurt. That's where he met the girlfriend. She said that he was a true gentleman, but another German colleague of his that was working with him described him as abrasive and confrontational, who sometimes liked to get into fights. Supposedly, he told his girlfriend that he feared violence from some colleagues who had just recently returned from Germany, and he told his mother that someone was spreading rumors about him, but he never elaborated. And that's all we know about this story.
That is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
And I told you that some of this stuff isn't in, like most of the stories I read, I probably read 10 different versions of the story, and only two mentioned that he had those keys on him. The other eight never even mentioned the keys. A bunch of them didn't mention the fact that they mentioned that he was going to Germany, but they didn't mention that he had a girlfriend who used to work in Germany. So the really depended on the story, you know. The story you read tells you a little more on each one. But when you break it down, we don't know why he was going, why he flew to Washington, D.C. We don't know how he ended up in Knoxville. Maybe his intention wasn't to stay in Knoxville.
Yeah.
Maybe he was driving through to somewhere else.
Yeah.
But we also don't know.
But I don't know. I still don't understand. Okay, he was killed, which is horrible. But why nobody took the money? Why nobody took any of that? Why? What was the point of doing that if you weren't trying to rob him or something?
Maybe somebody, I mean, maybe he really did have somebody after him. I would have still took the money. Why not? You know, but if you're going to do that, if you're not the most scrupulous person in the world, if you're going to kill somebody, especially if you're traveling all over two countries to do it, he obviously felt like somebody was after him, but was somebody really after him? Or was he schizophrenic and maybe... He ended up wrong place, wrong time, got killed by somebody else. Mm-hmm. Maybe he, as walking around, maybe he walked up on a drug dealer or something and they killed him. I mean, who knows? Somebody beat the hell out of him because he died from a ruptured stomach.
Wow.
Or, you know, or maybe he smarted off to somebody. But it might not have had anything to do with somebody being after him. But regardless, he ended up dead in a part of a country that he knew nothing about. Why didn't he just go to Germany? If the people he feared were back here.
Well, but you said he couldn't pass through the border, didn't you?
Well, but he bought plane tickets. He didn't have to cross the border to go to Germany. He could have left Germany from Canada.
That is weird as hell.
The only reason he couldn't get there past the border is because he had like cash and stuff on it. They don't care about that on a plane. I mean, I guess they do, but they would have, you know, checked all that if you're, you know, leaving the country. But
yeah, that's, and guy will never know.
And he didn't have any intention of coming back because he bought a one-way ticket.
Uh-huh.
So how about that for a crazy story?
Boy, that's sad. That's really sad that his mom was so paranoid like that.
But that could have been a mental illness, or it could have been he really had somebody after him.
Well, maybe he bought all those tickets the way he did because he thought he was throwing that person off track.
And that's a possibility too. Anyway, we'll never know.
No, we won't.
I mean, that was 1996, so if we don't know by now, we're probably not going to know.
Yeah, no. Wow, that's crazy. So,
all right, guys, thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed that.